beans, couch, potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Even though you're not a fat guy.
I'm not.
But I am. I have enough fat for both of us, I think.
Okay.
I've got enough for like a whole small village.
Sounds good to me.
But our other fat guy, our normal fat guy who's usually here, Neil Miller, has left us again. Like
yes.
He did in January. He is now in the sunny city of Austin, Texas, which I hear is almost getting hit with a snowstorm.
All right.
Yeah, Dallas got hit, but he drove down there with Brian Gibson from Film School Rejects and survived.
Have you heard?
Well, I have heard from Neil, but I do have a slight sense that maybe Brian is buried in a shallow grave somewhere outside Texarkana.
He could be in the trunk still.
That's possible.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So they drove together, and that should be interesting to see what happened with that friendship. We'll find out when we're back. Keep your eye on Film School Rejects to see if Brian Gibson is still around, reviewing DVDs and all that good stuff.
Or you can find the obituary next week.
Absolutely. And anyways, but Neil's down there, and he's at South by Southwest Film Festival, ready to see some new films. He's going to see Harold and Kumar, apparently, early. And
we have a Neil Miller puppet filling in this week.
That's right. We have a sock puppet named Neil Miller. Say hi. Hi, I'm Neil Miller. I'm a sock puppet. But I hear that Neil is going to go throw a pie in Harry Knowles' face down in Austin.
Ooh, fun.
I
wish I could be there.
Watch the news, yes. For those of you listening to us on the radio, if you want to catch us in our full glory in the unedited internet-only segments as well, you can go to www.fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also catch us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys, and we pop right up, our ugly little mugs and me naked, which a lot of people get disturbed by that picture. But
I get disturbed by that picture.
Whatever. You know, the sex tape's coming out soon.
Oh.
Me and I don't know who.
I'm actually afraid to sleep at night for fear that I'll see that picture in my sleep.
Well, you know what? I claim a lot. I've claimed I'm Jessica Alba, the father of Jessica Alba's baby. I'm actually the father of the baby in Juno, too.
Really?
Yes. Ellen Page. She loves me. So if you want to email us, you can email fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 614-388-8735. That's 388-TREK. Which has no bearing on the show whatsoever, considering Star Trek doesn't come out until 2009.
Oh. Well, you're prepared.
Yes, that's right. That's why we got the number.
Right.
Just in case.
Thinking ahead.
That's right. But Kristen's here with us tonight. We're going to be reviewing some movies and talking about DVDs and entertainment news and all that good stuff.
Neat.
And we're going to start off with what I believe is a contender for Oscar season next year.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yep. It gets my vote.
Yeah. You know, Raven Simone.
Yeah.
And Martin Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
College Road Trip. Martin Lawrence plays an overprotective dad bringing his daughter on a cross-country tour of colleges.
You the one that said, oh yeah, let's get a pet.
Yeah, man, get a puppy. Something about that pig, he keeps eyeballing me like I'm cooking his cousin.
Pig ain't eyeballing you.
He's doing it, look.
There's nothing there.
It's a Houdini pig.
You know why I chose that clip, Kristen?
Why did you choose that clip?
Because it featured both Martin Lawrence and Raven Simone.
Nice. You're going to get so cut off by Disney.
Disney hates me now. No, I mean, anyone who hears me knows that I'm not a big fan of Raven. Although I do like Disney movies. But see, Brenda Song was in the movie, and have a clip of her in the trailer. And I'd watch the movie about Brenda Song, because I think she's attractive, and she's a good actress, and she's funny.
Okay, well, I'll call Disney and let them know.
Absolutely. And she also has like a black belt in karate, and she could kick me in the face, and I'd be like down for a week. She's like 5'2".
I think I like her already.
Anyways, we didn't actually see this movie.
No.
Not because they didn't screen it. And this is no reflection on Disney or anything like that. It's just it was scheduled at the same night as 10,000 BC. So we were unable to see it in advance. But pretty much, I think this is one of those movies. This is what's so great about Disney is you know what you're going to get when you
get it. That's true. Yeah.
No matter what it is. If it's a National Treasure movie, you know what you're going to get. You know, if it's Pirates, well, maybe. That's a bad example. But if it's a cartoon, you know what it's going to get. This is pretty much Disney Channel for the big screen.
Yeah, and it's Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
And Raven Simone.
It can't be any worse than Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins.
Donny Osmond.
I hear Donny Osmond steals the show.
I heard that too.
So, what did John DeSanto, who also is a critic here in the big grape, I guess is what Columbus would
it's
be.
It's the big grape.
Yeah, it's a big grape.
Neat.
It's not a big apple, but John liked it, didn't he?
No.
No? Try to show some love for Disney here.
He did say that Donny Osmond was probably the best thing about it.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, you know, Martin Lawrence was Martin Lawrence. Pretty much what you can expect from Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
But he said Donny Osmond was hilarious.
Great. So. Well, I it's one of those that I'll probably end up seeing. I'm definitely, at the very least, I'll see it on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's one of those that if you've got like a teenage daughter, that's really more of the preteen, tween right. kind of daughter. That's probably what the target market's more.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Disney Channel movie.
Right.
So yeah, go see it if you like Disney Channel stuff.
And if you have a teenage daughter.
Yeah. And we can't give it a preemptive suck because
they
screened it. It's just that we went to go see
something else.
Giant ostrich raptor birds thingies right. eating people.
And kitty cats.
Yes, and kitty cats.
Yes.
Cute little fluffy cuddly. Meow. I won't use... I had a great segue, but it's not appropriate for the radio. Let's just move on to the next movie, which is in limited release, about 500 and some screens. Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day. A London nanny takes on a new client, played by Amy Adams, and tries to sort out her love life.
I believe you were expecting me.
What time is it?
5 minutes past 10.
Oh, God. Bill, it's time to wake up, darling.
I can get your boy up. They just need to know who's in charge.
First door at the top of the stairs. Get up.
Oh. He's a much bigger boy than I had expected.
Oh, you noticed. He's here.
Who?
Nick.
Another man.
Well, of course another man.
Since when did girls smoke cigars?
If I want to smoke cigars, I'll damn well smoke cigars.
Well, they're yours.
You betcha, baby.
I'll let you go first, Kristen. What do you think?
Well, for a fluffy chick flick, it's pretty good. It's entertaining. It's funny. But I was expecting something a little smarter, a little more clever. And this just isn't it. It was just too easy. You know, mm-hmm. from the beginning, you know what's going to happen. And everything works out exactly as you planned. And so that was a little frustrating for me.
Okay. I liked it, actually. Surprise, surprise. I liked the chick fluffy chick flick. And you know what's funny is you saw it, and you probably thought the same thing I did when you saw Oh Focus Features,
mm-hmm.
period piece.
Yep.
You thought it'd be like a little more esoteric, a little higher brow or something
a
like that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of did too, but in general, I kind of liked the fact that it was just this fuzzy little fun movie. It's something I'd take my mom or my grandmother to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I liked about it. Plus, Frances McDormand's a great actress.
She is wonderful.
I mean, even absolute crap that she's been in, something like North Country or some awful mm-hmm. film, she's still good in.
Right.
No matter what, she owns the role. And then Amy Adams is adorable.
Yeah. She's cute, but I think she kind of overdoes it.
Yeah, but she was like naked in furs and silk robes and everything.
Yeah, that kind of doesn't do anything for me.
I know.
Sorry. You
totally pushed my buttons. But I did thought, you're absolutely right in the sense that it is very, it's simplistic. It's not,
yeah.
It really doesn't feel like that independent movie that it is. It,
right.
it feels much more like it's going for the mainstream, but it didn't feel like it was selling out into the mainstream, at least in my opinion.
Okay.
So. I actually enjoyed it. I mean, until I saw The Bank Job, that was my pick of the week, actually.
Really?
Because, well, I mean, I didn't see College Road Trip. And there's, well, we'll get to 10,000
yeah. BC
on the bottom of at the end of this next break. But overall, I have to say, I mean, it's not the greatest movie, but I'm going to give it a kind of rocks, actually.
I'm on the fence on this one.
Really?
But just because you gave it a kind of rocks, I'm going to give it a kind of sucks.
Wow. I have such power over other critics to push them... away from my opinion.
Exactly.
So, Kristen, we didn't get to see College Road Trip.
Right.
Because we decided not to watch A Little Pig. And I'm talking about the little pig in the movie. I'm not talking about Raven Simone.
How right.
dare people think I would say that about the Cosby Girl. Take that, Jamie Kennedy. But we did have to go see Giant Mammoths. And ostrich, raptor, dinosaur-ish things.
Exactly, yes. And cavemen who speak English.
Cavemen who speak very good English.
Yes.
Amazing English.
The Queen's English, even.
Absolutely. So let's talk about our next movie, which if you haven't guessed by now, Roland Emmerich's 10,000 BC. And all, what do we have to say about this? Cavemen. Ugh.
This one will lead our people to a new land.
You have a great destiny.
I'm going after them.
Where do they take them?
The mountain of the gods. No one has ever returned.
You will free our people.
Kristen, you have a great destiny. As I say, as a Scottish caveman.
Oh, dear.
Do you want to take do you want to throw the first spear at this one, Kristen?
I don't even know where to begin with this one.
Okay.
Really.
You can begin at 10,000 BC.
That was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
But apparently, English was alive and well.
Yeah, and like, not just English, but well-spoken English.
Oh, yes. Good grammar.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is, in choosing this clip for the show, I was going through a whole bunch of trailers, and I went through like three or four before I could find one that actually had words in it.
Which is strange.
Yeah, because the rest of it was all cavemen. And I'm like, when I first, because I think back and I go, you know what? They probably would have been better to just stick with sort of the Quest for Fire thing where people don't speak English.
Well, no, they didn't.
They didn't. And they all speak very proper. And there's one point where he's like, how do you speak our language? Well, I went to Harvard.
Yeah, there are just so many questions about this movie that, you know, because nothing really happens during the movie. And, you know, you kind of spend a lot of time waiting for something to happen. And during that time when you're waiting for something to happen, you start thinking about these things. Like, why are these men all speaking English? And why is there this one guy from this one tribe who knows every single language?
And why do they go from the Siberian mountains to the Brazilian rainforest and then to the Nile?
Sahara.
Yeah, to the Sahara, then into Egypt.
And it takes them like a week.
Yeah, because like no one grows a beard in the process.
And, you know, I think it would have been neat if they'd shown us the wings that these guys sprouted.
That's true.
When they were off camera.
Yeah, it was. And I'm gonna use a line that our friend David Metzger from Bullseye.com, he said, he's been on the show enough. You guys know who he is. If you're avid listeners, the six or seven out there who have nothing else to do with their lives but surf crummy podcasts on the radio. Dave has said before that he's a Roland Emmerich apologist, as am I. As bad as his movies are, they're still fun.
Yep.
You know, I liked Godzilla. Yeah. Matthew Broderick was kind of crappy.
It's Matthew Broderick.
But Godzilla, it was a giant lizard running through New York. Well, what's not to love?
Of course.
So, but this movie, I think they could have done more with giant lizards running through New York in this movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, they make it out to be this big prehistoric thing with all these big, huge beasts and really...
Which they're in there.
A couple of them. There's the herd of furry elephants.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some giant ostrich things.
Yeah.
And then there's an overgrown kitty cat.
Yeah. And not much to the overgrown kitty cat. They really ramp
it's
that
actually,
up on the posters.
I think the kitty cat is housebroken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was expecting it to start batting around a ball of yarn.
And curl up and take a nap in the sun.
Absolutely. Well, the thing for me is, this movie's like almost 2 hours. It's like an hour and 49 minutes or something
like
that.
It was very long.
And I said to somebody a couple days later, or a day or so after I saw it, and they asked me what I thought. I go, well, you know what? They had too much plot. They had too much story with the cavemen. And he's like, what, you're saying that this movie had too much story? I'm like, well, no. They tried to put too much story, but there really wasn't. They just sort of overwrote the story.
There were all kinds of little points here and there.
Yeah, and there's like, you know, all this caveman politics that like no one really
and prophecies
about.
And...
Yeah,
all kinds of things going on.
And they
on.
Left this old woman out in the snow, and she was, like, having visions. It was weird. It really was
weird.
It was weird. If this movie was, like, 40 minutes long, this would be the best movie of the year.
Could be.
I really think so.
When I was leaving the theater, somebody said it was the best movie ever made.
Really?
Yes.
Was it like somebody, like, I brought my kids. I brought my six-year-old and my four-year-old. Were they?
No, it was a grown man, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't one of the infants in the theater.
I'm guessing he hasn't seen a lot of movies.
It's like the best movie ever made. I've seen this in Leprechaun. And that's it. This totally kicks Leprechaun's butt.
This was awesome.
No, but I think if they had more like woolly mammoths fighting people and
that would have been great.
Yeah, that's what they needed. And they spent way too much time with the cavemen talking because there's really only like three big action sequences in it.
Right.
And that's really, I think, going to be its downfall. I mean.
And, you know, you expect after 300, mm-hmm. you expect all kinds of big battle scenes. And really, there's only one.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cool.
The battle scene is very cool, but there's only one.
All right. This is my take on it. It's like a porno movie.
Okay.
Stay with me on
Why
this.
Why does
Kristen.
It always come back to that?
It comes back to it. There are these scenes that you really, really want to watch. And you've heard about it, and you're like, I want to see this because of these scenes. You know, it's like, I want to see this because of Paris Hilton, you know. And But you got to fast. You want to fast forward through everything in between.
That's true. There's
really
dialogue.
What it's like. Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't care about that. I know the pizza's late. Big deal. You know, go home. Put your pants back on. But that's my take on 10,000 BC. I'm going to have to give it a kind of sucks.
I'm giving it a kind of sucks as well.
Wow. Did you agree with me, Kristen?
No, I did not.
Can we call Guinness?
No.
You've agreed with me, well, on one movie.
If you mention it later, I will deny it.
Deny it. I'll be like, it's on the radio. Go listen. We're going to move on to the next one. Do you want to introduce this one?
Sure. The next movie is The Bank Job. A handful of small-time crooks take on a job to rob a major London bank.
We have to get our hands on these damning photographs of a certain royal person.
The photos are in the safe deposit box of the Lloyds Bank.
There can be no connection to us.
Ah. Makes us all look stupid.
I've got a proposition for you, Terry. A bank.
As in, Rob, can you see us taking on a bank?
This is about getting into the deposit box's secret wealth. Because people won't report it.
Haven't had this much excitement since the war.
You know, I don't know what happened during that trailer, but we were grooving here
we
in the
had
magical
a dance party.
In the magical studio of the sky, we had like disco lamps come down and everything. We had cages with dancers. I don't know
it is neat the strobe lights you've got set up here.
Neil put some additions in here before he left and he forgot to take the dancers with him. They were a little hungry. He left them in there for like a week, these poor girls.
Know. We really should feed them something.
Yeah.
Do you have some rice cakes?
I think I do.
Okay, good.
You're mocking me because I'm on a diet. I'm on a diet. We're gonna change the name to PHAT, Fat Guys in
nice.
The Movies, because we're pretty hot and tempting. At least I will be.
Something like that.
Okay. You should know. You're a woman. You know how. You know the just the raw sexuality that Neil and I exude.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
I can't even handle it.
It flows off of us. Or is that sweat? It's one of the two. I don't know what it is.
I have a hard time being around you guys.
That's true. Kristen is now turning a beautiful shade of green for St. Patrick's Day. Anyway, as much as
what were we talking about?
It was a bank job. You know, hey, as much as I loved the music in this trailer, I have to say I really enjoyed this movie.
I did too.
Really?
You know,
wait. Are you agreeing with me again?
Uh-uh. It actually took me a little while to get into it.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of slow sometimes, but there's enough going on that it kept my interest the whole time. And, you know, it was pretty intense, actually.
Actually, it was. It's one of those movies, it took time to pace it out. And when it was about two-thirds of the way through, I'm like, this is a decent movie. And you kind of had the heist, but it really didn't have the big action moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it eventually does.
Yeah.
It really does come to it's so well constructed, at least to really come to a head at the end, and it works incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but I agree.
You agree with me. There we go. Yeah, but I've heard a lot of buzz about this being one of the best heist movies ever, and this was more like an Ocean 7, maybe?
Yeah.
Because
they're not smooth criminals.
They're pretty bad at what they do at times.
They kind of have no idea most of the time.
Which makes it really fun. And apparently it's a true story. I haven't had a chance to check my definitive source of Wikipedia on whether how true this is. Which as I looked up everything about the Anne Boleyn and Mary Boleyn.
Oh, good for you.
It was all in there. Total Jerry Springer episode.
I know. I read it too, actually.
Yeah. And you're like, really? Man, there are those Tudors, man.
Wow.
They may be in a castle, but they belong in a trailer. But The Bank Job apparently is based on a true story.
That's what the title says.
Yeah, that's what they say. But then again, they said like Dirty Dancing Havana Nights was based on a true story.
Really?
And you're just like, well, okay, there was a revolution in Cuba. There you go.
It works.
But no, I'd say I'm going to give a rocks to The Bank Job. I think it was good enough to get a rocks.
Okay, I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
Just to disagree with me?
No, because that's how I feel.
Ah.
And, you know, because you don't feel that way.
There you go.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. But you kiss me.
I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movie.
Shut up, sock puppet.
You shut up, because I'm Neil Miller, and I co-own this show. And you're in my magical studio in the sky.
Thank you, sock puppet.
Now get back in your cage. The most disturbing sock puppet. We're gonna start bringing that out to grade schools around the country to teach kids stranger danger. Stay away from men with sock puppets. Hi, kitties. I'm Neil Miller. Want some candy? This is me just getting back at Neil. Did you listen to the episode when I was in LA and Neil and David were really, they were mean
to
me.
No, I think I missed that week.
I cried. Well, you know what's funny is they then sent it to me to engineer. And nice. I had to listen to this thing and I'm like, you jerks. So
take that, Neil Miller.
That's right. I'll get an email from him tomorrow. Be like, what the hell? Anywho.
Sorry, Neil.
We don't care about Neil Miller. Not in the magical studio. We have taken it over. We have fed your cage dancers.
And they are now ours.
They are now ours. We're gonna take them out, you know, get them something fancy, like places that have cloth napkins instead of like Bill Knapps and Bob Evans.
Wow.
Which I guess do have paper napkins.
They probably do.
But they have waiters and waitresses. So
it's true. They come to your table and everything.
I know. Amazing. Uh-huh. It's kind of like being at, I don't know. Have you ever been to like Sonic?
Yes.
You're from Boston, right, originally. Do they have Sonic all the way up?
Actually, I'm from Michigan originally.
From Michigan? What part of Michigan?
Holland.
Holland?
It's here.
Oh, like way over by Grand Rapids.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I used to be on the radio in Muskegon.
Really?
Muskegon or whatever.
Muskegon.
Muskegon, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
I never had to say the name of it, the host.
Whatever that is.
And then the show kind of went out of...
So what were we doing again?
I don't know. We were talking about Sonic.
And sock puppets.
Sonic and sock puppets.
Right.
Because that's what Neil uses to lure... I have to stop talking. Neil got so mad at me the other day because I was insinuating things that, well, he claims aren't true.
Well.
So anyways, let's talk about last week at the box office. The big, huge news. Semi-pro tanked.
Yes.
And it's weird. This is such a weird industry to be number one at the box office and be considered a failure.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen with the Golden Compass? Did that come in number
one? I think
one?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe it was like Alvin and the Chipmunks that came in over it. But Semi-Pro only made like half of what they were saying it was going to make.
It was what, 15?
15. And they were saying like 30 to 40. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a huge drop from what they expected. And the word is that it's because it was R-rated.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you're going to see a Will Ferrell movie, do you really care?
Well, but I don't think he's had like an R-rated movie. He hasn't. His movies haven't been R-rated. They've all been PG-13.
Really?
Like Anchorman came out as an unrated DVD, so you had sort of the R-rated version of it. But but Anchorman and Talladega Nights and Blades of Glory all were PG-13.
Hmm. I guess I just go into it and I kind of assume that I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not really.
It wasn't his strongest movie.
Kiddie material.
But it was like really, really fervently hyped. He did a lot of promotion for it, which sometimes.
For weeks.
Yeah, which sometimes can go against you in the sense that people are like, why are you promoting it so much?
Well, and we saw it, what, 3-4 weeks ahead?
Yeah, we saw it like in January.
And
that's because he was coming into Columbus for his Get Funny or Die tour.
Yeah, and by the time it came out, I was like, hold on. That's not out yet?
Yeah.
I saw that ages ago.
Yeah, you're like, stop. Rewind that. And speaking of that, Vantage Point was number two, and then the Spiderwick Chronicles. Did you like Spiderwick?
I did.
I loved it.
I thought it was cute, yeah.
So you are agreeing with me again.
No, I'm not. You loved it, and I thought it was cute. That is very different.
Cute. My kids saw it. My kid. Oh, I got.
Did
a great
your kids have nightmares after seeing that? Because I almost had nightmares.
That's
after
right. You were
it.
Saying that. That's why I remember hearing David say when you said that. No, they didn't. But my youngest son got a little scared during the underground chase scene.
Oh yeah.
He leans. He crawls up on my shoulder and he says. He whispers in my ear. He goes, "Daddy," because he, unlike most children, understands how to talk in a movie. Unlike most adults.
Right. They so just you've talk. Trained him well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. He was. I'm going off on many tangents here, but my son was quieter next to me at 10,000 BC than the heavy breather was next to me during the bank job. Because literally through the whole movie, I heard this.
Sorry. I'm a little congested.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I wanted to call the police and report an obscene phone call, but then I looked over and it's just this guy. who, yeah, it's just.
Well, actually, your kids were very well behaved during the movie, and they were a lot quieter than the baby in the front of the theater.
There were two babies. I literally, the only thing that stopped me from getting up and yelling at them.
I was waiting for you to do it, because that's what you do.
Well, no, because I was holding my kid. My son, he was a little scared at 10,000 BC, but he's four.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but in Spiderwick, he climbs up and goes, "Daddy, my heart's beating really, really fast."
Oh.
It was very cute. So, and then my other son during 10,000 BC, when the ostrich raptors came
right
out.
Yeah.
He yells at the top of his voice because he goes, "Those are in my dinosaur book."
Sweet.
It was really, and I'm like, shh. He's like, I'm sorry.
He had giant ostriches in his dinosaur book?
Well, there's sort of that Archaeopteryx kind of bridging the gap.
Wow, you just used a really big word.
Aren't you impressed?
I know.
I looked that up. I said, I'm determined to put that in a conversation.
Wikipedia.
That's right, Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia. And I love Wikipedia because you can look up anything. Dirty words, you know, if you sit there and
really
say, what is...
I've never done that before, but now I'm going to have to.
You're going to have to.
I know.
And there's also this thing called the Urban Dictionary. I think urbandictionary.com or .net, I don't know what it is. But that'll tell you, if you're like, I want to know what a phone is, it'll tell you.
Really?
I'm going to have to bleep that out, I guess. Since this is the radio segment. So Spiderwick.
I learn something new every time I'm here.
That's right.
It's amazing.
The other Boleyn girl came in next, and that made a good amount. It was actually better than they thought. Penelope didn't do so well.
Which is too bad, because I really liked it.
Did you like it? You know, I liked that too. Oh my God.
This is Kristen, a bad week for me.
Did you agree with me again?
I need to go on vacation and get my taste back, apparently.
My favorite part of like last year was when Hairspray came out, and you and I we ran into each other at a screening, and I asked you if you liked it, and you're like, yeah. Did you like it? I'm like, yeah. And you're like, oh. You're like, Kevin liked a movie that I liked. How the shame of it all.
It does hurt a little bit when that happens.
All right. So this week, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think the bank job's going to pull it off, or do you think 10,000 BC? What do you?
I think it might be 10,000 BC. I think people are expecting it to be 300.
Really?
And it's not at all.
They're not going to. People are thinking it's going to be 30 times 300.
Well, something like that. And I didn't even like 300, but this wasn't as good as 300 was.
No, it wasn't.
No.
I like 300, but I think. Oh, there you go. I think it's going to be 10,000 BC.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a chance of the bank job because it's just getting better reviews, and I think it's going to have better word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I really think what's going to happen with 10,000 BC is it's going to have decent numbers on Friday, and then it's just going to tank because people are going to be like, there's three scenes and it's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, and that's about all we really have to say. Who cares about the rest?
Yeah, really.
A College Road Trip, I think, is going to do well, but I don't think it's going to be smashing because I don't think it's a crossover hit. It's going to do well enough.
It's a family movie, so yeah, it'll do well.
Yeah, it'll do fine. But I think, and Miss Pettigrew, that's limited, so
mm-hmm.
probably not even close to the top 10. Let's move on to the Fat Guy Sound Off and talk about some things that we want to talk about. Little unlike Liam, Liam is my son.
Yes.
Neil is
not your
like
son.
My son in the sense that, well,
really?
At least I didn't have to change his diapers. I refused to. He asked, but I said no. We're going to do the Fat Guy Sound Off and talk about stuff that Neil probably wouldn't, because he'd just talk about like The Dark Knight and Iron Man all the time.
Really? He would talk about Iron Man?
Because
I've never heard him talk about Iron
really?
Man before.
Really? I brought my kids over to his house and I said, hey, ask Neil to see the Iron Man trailer.
How many times have I seen that trailer?
Oh, the new one. Oh, my Lord. And then they come in and they go, Neil, can we see the Iron Man trailer? He literally did this. He's like, really? And his eyes got really big, and he's like, I've got it on my computer. And he goes, just stumbling over.
Your kids are awesome.
let's start. We're going to do this a little out of order than what I've got written. Let's start
okay.
with.
We're winging this.
Yeah, the first one I want to get your take on. 24, the movie, or otherwise known as 2.
You know what? You're going to hate me when I say this.
What?
I don't watch 24.
You don't watch 24?
I don't.
I thought you did.
I am at screenings every night. Watch bad reality TV, and that's about it, because it's not a movie.
Because you don't have to. Well, you still have to watch reality TV in the right order, don't you?
A little bit. What's bad
reality? Like America's Next Top Model?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Project Runway?
Oh, my Lord.
Which I can't watch TV or read the news right now because I missed it last night. So,
oh, that's why, because Project Runway, that doesn't make news, does it?
It does where I go.
Oh, okay. Do you watch? You know what? So there's a one reality show I have got a little hooked on, and it's from Britain. It's on BBC America. It's called You Are What You Eat. Have you ever seen it?
Oh dear, no.
And it's very similar to like a makeover show.
You're a big rice cake.
Well, at least tonight I am. What they do is they get these like ridiculously fat people in London or England, somewhere in England, and they then bring in this woman who's like, you know, 5'2" and like 26 pounds, and she yells at them for what they eat, and she makes them have different food, and then they are supposed to lose all this weight. But she always comes in, she yells at them and berates them for what they eat, and she brings out and has them make a food diary, and then she puts on a giant table, mm-hmm. everything they eat in a week, which is terrifying.
Wow.
When you look at like all the candy and crap that they eat, and then she asks to see their poo.
What?
This is totally every episode. And then she like tells him, she's like, oh, you don't need to eat chips and snacks and crisps, which is what they call
right.
crackers and cookies. You know, you need to eat. You can have this instead. It's like got pumpkin seeds and couscous. It's just as good. And you're like, no, it's not.
No.
And they always tell people that they're how much they weigh in stone, which is apparently 14 pounds. I had to look this up on Wikipedia, no less.
Of course.
But so they go, he weighed a whopping 20 stone. And I'm like, he could be 9,000 pounds. He could be 12 pounds for all I know what a stone is. So, but it's a fun movie because it's a fun show because she asks to see their poo.
So that's why you watch it
every episode. Just asked about poo. Anyways, so you don't care about 24. Let's move on. We only got a little bit of time left because we got to talk about this one. Marion Cotillard put her, not just her foot, but her whole leg in her mouth.
Yes.
She said 9/11 is because the Americans wanted to write off the World Trade Center because they were too expensive.
So they were just destroying it anyway. And
so they blew it up and blamed it on terrorists.
It's a good idea.
And we didn't actually go to the moon.
Well, no.
She's like, she saw
it
a lot of documents.
It was all a sound stage.
Absolutely. This like beats the, you like me, you really, really like me.
I don't know. I don't believe anything anymore.
I love celebrities saying stupid things.
My mother told me not to believe anyone.
That's true. And we won't.
No. All right, we're back. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and the Neil Miller sock puppet.
Hi, I'm Neil Miller. Suck it up, Kristen. She just loves that. You just love that sock puppet.
I love the sock puppet. I'm going to take him home with me.
Really?
Yes.
Aw, that's so sweet.
I'm
going to feed it crisps.
I will. But I will not ask to look at its poo.
No, you won't.
I don't want to know.
I would imagine the sock puppet doesn't have much poo.
No?
No. It's kind of thin. But she did tell it. She does say on the show, she describes what a healthy poo should always look like.
Really?
And they never have it. Everyone has really bad poo.
This sounds like a really educational show, and maybe I should watch it.
It's funny.
Because though. I have no idea what a healthy poo is like.
Well, I mean, you look like you're healthy. I mean, you're not 20 stone or anything like that.
No.
You're probably, what, about a stone or less?
A stone and a half.
A stone. You're probably not a stone and a half. Stone. Well, no, stone. Well, no, a stone, yeah, you're a little heavier than a stone.
Hmm.
You're not 14 pounds. You'd be really, really skinny if you were just a stone.
I'm a little more than that.
Just a tad. No jelly rolls on you, as they would say in Funny Games. We'll talk about that next
week.
Oh,
dear.
We got build up for that. And an interview with the director, too.
Oh, that'll be neat.
Yeah. Which will be interesting because it's no big surprise. I didn't like the movie. And I told Neil, because Neil's like, hey, can you interview this guy? And I'm like, yeah, sure, but I don't know what I'm going to ask him. Because literally, I would be like, okay, we're getting ready to start the interview. What the hell? That would be my first question.
I think you should have David Metzger interview him.
Oh, no. It's like another dead kid. What the hell?
No, because when he walked out of the theater, he took his soda cup and slammed it into the trash so hard that I thought it was going to explode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He almost threw it at the screen.
I might have to just have David do the show next week.
And I think that would be really entertaining.
Yeah.
I would
like to
hear
that. He could throw soda cups everywhere.
It is fun when he gets angry, really. He starts throwing things at the screen.
Yeah, he gets riled up and he takes things, well, because he's got a son now, yes. So he's very sensitive to movies where kids get killed, except The Mist. He loved for some strange reason.
There you go.
But yeah, generally he really, like, he saw Reservation Road and he just didn't like it because
he didn't see that one.
Didn't? Oh no, he refused to go see.
Right.
It. But there was something else that some kid gets killed or in peril or something like that.
Children in peril.
Yeah, and. Yeah, it's yeah, it'll be funny.
Yeah.
When it comes out.
Actually, you know, I sat behind you and I was enjoying the hand gestures through the whole movie.
My little, when I go, huh? Yeah. My favorite part was Jason Zingale's little comment. Stop. Rewind that. Okay, anyways, we'll talk about that next week. And more fun about Neil Miller, because he won't be here and it'll be more bashing Neil.
Will the sock puppet be here?
I might have to bring the sock puppet back.
Okay.
Whoever's going to be the guest, I haven't figured out. Because I think I asked somebody. And I
Nobody knows who you asked.
I'm pretty sure I asked Bill Clark from the balcony.
I'm pretty sure he's in Florida.
But is he in Florida next week?
I think so.
What am I going to do? I'll have to get Dave in here. Because I had asked Jason, but is Jason going to be? I don't know.
Mm-mm.
This is probably in a conversation we should be having off the air.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, what were we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about what we're looking ahead to for
All
the summer.
All right, let's do that.
We're going to talk about everything that we're looking forward to except one movie that Neil Miller loves, and he's talked about it so much that I refuse to talk about it anymore. So I'm going to start with the one I'm looking forward to most.
Okay.
WALL-E.
Yes.
You said you're scared of this movie.
I am a little bit.
Why?
Because it seems to me like Mr. Bean in a cartoon. In a robot suit.
That's right, you hate Mr. Bean,
I do.
You? Why do you hate Mr. Bean?
Because he's so stupid.
Well, you hang out with us. You should be used to that.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys don't get yourself into all kinds of trouble just because you're stupid.
Well.
Not often.
It happens to me all the time. You should see what things get stuck in things at home. It's very embarrassing. We've had to call 911 several times. My wife will be like, oh, you put it in there again? I'll be like, yeah.
I don't know. I did actually.
I bought a dinner first.
I did watch you set up the studio tonight, and I can kind of understand that.
That was Neil's fault, man. He, like, last time he had everything set up in the studio for me, because he really kind of engineers the whole thing.
So what you're saying is he sabotaged the show?
He did. He sabotaged in the original French, too. He's in bed with Marion Cotillard. He even said to me, he's like, well, I knew that story happened, but I was kind of sitting on it. I didn't want to talk about it.
Because
he just likes the hot French chick. And I'm like, hey, well, she's hot and she's French, but she's an idiot. But, oh well. So there we go.
So WALL-E.
Yes, WALL-E. I get your point. If you don't like Mr. Bean, probably not. But
right.
When I was at Comic-Con, I had a chance to sit in a roundtable interview with Andrew Santin, who directs it.
Okay.
And he's the guy who did Finding Nemo. And this guy was like totally committed to the movie, and he totally sold me on it by just sitting there and hearing what he said about it, because it was funny, because one of the journalists says, well, how did you approach a movie where the character doesn't talk? And Stanton looks at him and goes, he talks. And the guy's like, oh, he's like, he talks for the whole movie. He just doesn't speak English. Unlike the characters in 10,000
exactly,
BC.
I was just going to say that.
But he described it as the scene where R2-D2 in Star Wars is going through the valley and the Jawas get him. That's the scene. Nobody speaks English, but you know everything that happens.
That's true.
So
I'll give you that much.
It's R2-D2 the movie. So.
Okay.
All right. What are you looking forward to most?
I would say that I am most looking forward to Midnight Meat Train.
Really? We got to see a trailer for that.
Yes. And it's always very exciting. We all cheer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you looking forward to this movie? You don't quite seem like the Lionsgate horror movie chick that I normally meet online. No. And that Neil meets in junior high playgrounds. Not saying they go to junior high, they teach there. Come on.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He brings his sock puppet
hey,
with it.
Quit talking about me on the air. You know, I sent him a text because he has yet to text me back. The bastard.
Actually, though, I would say probably Indiana Jones.
Really?
Would be my, yeah.
Are you a big Indiana Jones fan?
Not huge.
Okay.
But, you know, I always liked it, and we'll see what happens. I'm intrigued, I guess.
Yeah, I'm real interested simply because I want to see if after 20 years of filmmaking, if it actually holds the same flavor as you know, The Last Crusade. Because even Temple of Doom, which is the weakest of the three, I think that's sort of general consensus. Or do you think, what did you...
Actually, you know, it's been a while.
Really?
Yeah, and I am pulling them out again so I can watch them before the next one comes out.
There you go. But, I mean, I'll be curious to see, because Spielberg has changed with the stuff he's done.
Right.
Like, if you look at, like, even how he made, like, you know, Jurassic Park was even still closer to the original Indiana Jones, but, like, with War of the World and Minority Report, he did a lot of, he's gotten much more...
Flashy?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of Michael Bay influence coming in.
Uh-oh.
Course,
but Michael Bay is awesome.
He's awesome. Michael Bay is awesome.
Thank you, Sock Puppet.
I'm also looking forward to Prince Caspian.
Yes.
It looks like a good one. Just, it'll be nice to see another Narnia movie.
I actually need to reread the book before
really?
It comes out. Yeah.
I don't read books. You review them on your site, so you have to.
I do stuff like that.
Yes. What else? What are your big ones?
The Dark Knight.
You gotta love Heath Ledger, right?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I
do. Were you really upset when he died?
I was.
Wow.
You remember? You're the one who told me.
Was it me who told you? I remember we were at a screening.
We were at a screening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was kind of freaked out about the whole thing for a day or two.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't understand why, but I always
OD'd
really
on
liked
stuff,
him. Oh, yeah.
He was on six prescription
No, I'm saying
medication.
I don't understand why I was so freaked out about it.
Oh, okay.
But
you weren't like crying. You weren't like the girls when Kurt Cobain died and they're like, oh.
No, I wasn't sobbing or anything. I was just kind of, you know.
Yeah. It is sad.
I woke
sad
up the next
because,
day and I was like, that's really weird.
Yeah. It's one of those things that it's like if you go on a binge, like when Chris Farley didn't mean to kill himself, but it was on a binge is
right.
what I understand. Whereas it's I mean, talk about the most anticlimactic thing. You go home, you take a couple pills and you die. So. But he was on six prescription medication.
Well, yeah.
My grandmother's on six or more, but she's like 80-something.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Right now I'm on caffeine.
Obviously. And sock puppets. All right, let's talk about some other ones, big ones. We got, I'm looking forward to Hellboy and Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a comment when we were making the list. You're like, what did you say? You're such a guy.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah, last time I checked, I was.
Good. It's good to know.
Yes. My kids, I think, will really love Journey to the Center of the Earth, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Brendan Fraser in it.
Well, who doesn't love Brendan Fraser?
Mark of quality. Because if Brendan Fraser's in the movie, it's got to be good.
Well, hold on. So then he's in The Mummy, too, right?
That's right. The Mummy's coming
he's
out.
He's got two of them this summer.
Like The Mummy Part 8.
14, I believe.
I think they skipped a couple.
Oh, okay.
They just skipped a couple. They said, you're going to have to guess what happens. Then we'll do a direct-to-video sequel with, like, Pauly Shore.
Neat.
In the Brandon Fraser role.
That would be great. I would see that.
Have I ever told you what I would love to do if I were a studio exec? I would love to like plan to do like not Hamlet, but something a little more, something like, but it'd have to be a serious. I was going to say Midsummer's Night Dream because that has a relatively large cast.
Okay.
But something more serious, not one of the comedies, one of the dramas. And like cast. Like Steven Seagal and Pauly Shore and Steve
Sweet.
Zahn, who's a great actor, but every role he could play Hamlet and be like, yeah, man, to be or not to be, that's the question. And like just cast terrible actors and like Tara Reid, you know?
Well, if you put glasses on her, she looks smart.
Well, that's true. And like Denise Richards. You know, just like
she never looks smart.
The worst actresses in the world. And you cast it, but you get a director in there that makes them think they're doing a good job. They're like, yes, you're doing great. This is awesome. And then release it as a comedy.
Sweet.
It would make tons of money. Tons. Listening, Hollywood, I want my royalty check. What about the X-Files?
We'll see what happens with that one.
You're not too, you don't look too confident.
Not so much. You know, because I remembered the first one. And I wasn't that thrilled with the first X-Files movie.
It was...
And it's been, what, 40 years since the X-Files was on?
I think it's been almost since they made the last Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, something like that.
Now, is David Duchovny's in this too, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I think his movie's like the other ones that he's done that nobody goes and sees. He's like, I need to make some
money.
Oh,
but I've seen them.
Yeah, I saw them. What was the one? There was, God, it was this... awful movie. It was an independent film.
That horrible one. That
about
was...
him having sex with this other woman.
Yeah.
Having an affair. And it was, this was one that I was complaining about this once where you get these, it was, this is what I complained about like with Be Kind Rewind, although we never really talked about it on the show since we weren't allowed to see it.
Right.
Where you get this independent director and they make basically an independent film, but they want to make it appeal to the mainstream. So they like give it a happy ending, you know? So yeah. It's unlike anything they do and it's completely out of place. That's the way this
I'm
movie was.
I'm trying to remember which movie that
Trust,
was.
Trust
the Man.
Was it Trust the Man?
Yes.
Wow, that was a terrible
That was
moment.
Good. Yeah, I hated that movie. Again, we agreed on something.
I want to see Twin Peaks, the movie. And did you ever see Twin Peaks?
No.
He played Dennis / Denise, which was a cross-dressing FBI agent.
Wow.
Or CIA agent, one of the two.
Okay, I'll see that.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be in the X-Files.
It should be, though.
It should be.
Yeah.
We need more cross-dressing David Duchovny. Anyways, let's move on to movies that we're terrified of. And I'll let you start.
I am terrified of The Love Guru Mike Myers.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people would be terrified.
I am absolutely terrified. And being the hockey fan that I am, I'm a little bit outraged and insulted.
True. Well, yeah. Well, considering your connections.
My connections?
Your international connections.
Right.
Yes.
Being married to a Canadian and
yes,
all.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. I gotcha.
Well, explain to it. You explained to me off the air, but explain to
the seven
listeners at home.
Right. In the trailer, they talk about how, you know, he's going to save the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then it says, the second greatest guru in all of India is coming to America. And the last time I checked, I mean, I was just there last weekend. Toronto is still in Canada.
That's true.
So,
although now
unless they're on a road trip,
now that the Canadian dollar's overvalued over the American dollar, and I think that Canada has sucked up so much production work, they are now just going to start assuming it's the same thing. It's a passive invasion of the country. We need to build a fence all across the northern border, because I've driven through Canada and it is the most unpatrolled area in the universe.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
It's kind of scary.
Actually, we did that once in Vermont.
Yeah,
which borders on Quebec.
Yeah,
and we'd go in and out and in and out. There's like a city that's right on the border, and you can drive like into the country and out of the country.
Well, you know what's funny? When I drove up to Alaska, and like when you go from the Yukon into Alaska, there's nothing at all, ever.
Do they really care, though?
Well, what's funny is, like, will pass...
They kind of want people in Alaska.
You pass the international line, and, like, 30 miles later is the checkpoint. Hmm. And you're like, I'm already in the country.
What are you going to do? Throw me out?
Come on. So, anywho's. No, The Love Guru scares me.
Terrifying.
It looks like every piece of garbage that came out of the Austin Powers stuff... And they just said, let's make a movie out of that.
Yeah, actually, the trailer kind of made me want to cry a little bit.
I threw up a little bit in my mouth. This is me watching the Love Guru trailer.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
That was me.
Neat.
I'm looking forward to the Love Guru. I am the Love Guru. So says
yes,
the Sock
Yes, but
Puppet.
Sock Puppet loves Justin Timberlake.
You know what? That's the only funny thing in the trailer is Justin Timberlake.
That was terrifying.
I had to admit, I laughed. Just because I think Justin Timberlake's not a bad actor. I think he actually could have a career if he stopped singing.
Actually, he's a pretty good singer, too.
Well, he's a good singer, too, but I'm just annoyed with him as a singer. Bring sexy back. I can do that.
Actually, you know, Justin Timberlake is huge in Malaysia.
How do you know this?
Because I was there.
You were in Malaysia?
Yeah.
With a Justin Timberlake t-shirt and you got attacked?
No, every time I got into a cab, he was on.
Really?
Yes. It was huge.
Another international incident is going to come from that. Anywho, I'm scared of Kung Fu Panda.
I am too.
Kung Fu Panda and Hancock, which looks absolutely crap.
It does look a little bit terrifying.
It's sort of like, you know what it's about?
I was just reading about it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you might want to tell the seven listeners.
The seven listeners, including those in Malaysia and Canada. Hancock is about...
I have a big following.
Yeah, a reluctant superhero who just is sort of like a homeless bum who has superpowers, but he only saves people kind of when he wants to. Hmm. And it's directed by Peter Berg. So that means that's, crap from the beginning to end.
Sounds like it.
I think it's one of those things that Will Smith, I think, said, you know what? I am too popular of a star. I'm way too popular, and I need to get a movie that's going to just suck so bad that Barack Obama doesn't want me to play him in a movie.
Somebody has pictures.
Somebody does have pictures.
Yes.
We need to hire Jason Statham to go get them. Anyways, I think we should wrap up this segment because we're rambling. We're prattling on and on.
Yes, you are. You should wrap it up.
So says the sock puppet.
Well, the sock puppet has spoken.
Well, we've done our movie picks for the week, and we talked about entertainment news and what we're looking forward to this summer. If you didn't hear that, listeners, all 7 or 8 of you, all across the world.
Well, the radio ones, there's only 4.
There's 4. That's right. There's.
We pick up an extra 3 online.
Yeah, because we're on KGAB in Wyoming, and I know for a fact that at least the engineer listens to it, so she can bleep us out if we say anything that we shouldn't be. So that's 1. And then Neil's mom listens. That's 2.
My mom doesn't
either. No. She can't. She actually has complained about the picture on the website. She's like, oh, Kevin, why do you do that? I go, everyone talks about it. There's this one. I do interviews in Fargo, North Dakota.
Okay.
On KJMO. And I call them up one day, and they're like, and it's a guy and a girl who hosts, and Ryan, the woman, she's like, oh, I like that picture on it. Which one's you? And I go, which one do you think's me? She's like, the one with the shirt on. I'm like, no. And she's like, oh, Kevin, I scare people
a little bit,
and little dogs too. So we're gonna do the DVD roundup and talk about what our favorite DVD picks of the week are.
Okay.
Let's start with you, Chris.
My pick of the week is Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Whee!
You know, it didn't do a lot at the box office, but it was a fun movie. It was very magical. Yes. And, you know, to get a whole theater full of film critics laughing through a movie is pretty impressive.
That's right.
And, you know, to have them walking out with a smile on their face, everybody but John DeSando, was great.
Well, and I think there was another Joyce didn't like it either.
She loved it.
Okay,
yeah, she was sitting next to me.
Okay. Yeah,
she giggled through the whole thing.
Good. Yeah, it was a cute movie. Yeah. It's one of those movies that's rated G, and you don't really realize it's rated G until after you see it, and you look at the rating, and you're like, oh, I guess it was G. Yeah. Doesn't have any terrible, awful things.
No, it's a good family movie, but I liked it.
And it was magical. Not in special, but in magical.
Magical.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it was cute. I liked it. I also enjoyed it. My pick of the week is 101 Dalmatians, the 2-disc platinum edition.
Good pick.
Is coming out, or is out. Disney has re-released it, brought it out of the vault. And this was one of my favorite movies. I put this as my favorite Disney movie that wasn't a fairy tale, like before Little Mermaid.
Definitely.
Because Little Mermaid changed everything. I mean, just in terms of storytelling and music and everything, it's sort of brought in a whole new era. And 101 Dalmatians is by far my favorite that was not a fairy tale.
I would have to agree, actually.
Yeah?
Believe it or not.
Again, you're agreeing with me.
And it's a fun DVD, too.
Oh, you know what's really cool is they have this virtual Dalmatian that you can make. You put in your CD-ROM or your DVD-ROM, and you can make your Dalmatian. You can make its little room, and it can sit around and play and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those Disney DVDs that you need a map to navigate.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff on
there. There is so much stuff on there. You could spend an entire day.
And like for the people who like just the real minutiae, it has alternate tracks of all the different songs in it, which there weren't very many, but they had a deleted song. And
it was
they
like 45 minutes worth, though.
That's a lot. It is. Like if you want to hear every version that they ever recorded of the Canine Crunchies commercial.
Yes.
Canine Crunchies can't be beat. You can knit with every treat.
I think I actually listened to all of them.
I listened to most. My kids loved it. They're like, again. I'm like, I'm going to shoot myself in the face. And they probably would have thought that was funny. But probably. No, 101 Dalmatians, it's definitely worth picking up.
Definitely.
So, Stinkers, though. You want to do this one?
I think we both can.
Yes.
Things We Lost in the Fire
comes
out this week.
It was decent acting. You know, good cinematography, music was fine.
I think Benicio del Toro is wonderful.
Forgot to give a plot.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
If they were cavemen, this could have been 10,000 BC. without the mammoths.
I don't know. I think their English would have been better.
That's right. Yeah, because Benicio del Toro does sort of tend to stammer through his dialogue.
Well, he is a drug addict.
Yeah, he does play. This movie was so excruciating, it made me want to start shooting heroin.
Really?
Yeah. I did, too. I scored some on the when I left the theater. I'm like, I need heroin. And this guy's like, dude, I have some.
I'm like, hold on. Awesome. Let me guess. You just came out of Things We Lost in the Fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Here you go.
So, anyways, those are our DVD picks. Anything else you want to throw any, shed any light on?
I think that was it.
No, not at all. You don't want to give any love to Awake with Hayden Christensen?
I skipped it.
You did?
Yeah, I made somebody else cover that one for me.
Wow. I liked it. Well, no, it wasn't good. But it was better than Things We Lost in the Fire.
It's not saying too much, really.
No, it's not. But it is where I came up with the idea that I said, you know, Hayden Christensen has this ability to be really passionately bland.
Yes.
I mean, he always is like, oh, I want to act. And you're just like, okay.
He makes me sleepy a little bit.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
It's like a drug. I should have taken him after I went and saw Things We Lost in the Fire. Anyway, to wrap up our review, or otherwise known as How Often Does Kristen Agree with Kevin?
Uh-oh.
The first one, College Road Trip, we didn't see, so we can't tell you. But nope. Mrs. Pettigrew?
Kind of sucks.
Did you say kind of sucks? Yeah, that's right. You did that just because I said kind of rocks.
Yes.
10,000 BC?
Kind of rocks.
Did you say kind of rocks on that?
Oh, 10,000 BC? No, 10,000 BC kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks for
sorry.
Me.
Sorry. Oh.
It's late.
I know it is.
And then the bank job, I said rocks.
Kind of rocks.
You just had to disagree just
yes,
a little bit.
Yes, a little bit.
Next week, we're going to talk about Doomsday, even though we're not going to be able to see that one.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that one.
Yeah, it might be decent. We're also going to talk about Horton Hears a Who with Jim Carrey and Steve Carell in computer-generated glory. Funny Games, we gave a little preview of how much we hated that movie.
And it should be a fun one next week.
Yes. And then Never Back Down. So if you want to catch us on the internet, www.fatguysatthemovies.com, or you can check us out from filmschoolrejects.com. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Have you seen the ads for the wine in the box?
No.
It's hysterical because they pitch it as it's a good thing it's in a box.
If you were marketing wine in a box, what would you do?
That's like sitting there and saying, come to our massage parlor. We have syphilis. You know what you're getting when you come here.